You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye, like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Really came down to earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a magnificent night of talk radio it's been. Keith Alexander, James Edwards, TPC, for the last 2 hours, we have fielded your calls from across the country and truly around the world, going all the way down to Brazil with our very last caller of the evening. And we appreciate that so much. In the third hour, as we celebrate 18 years on the air, the third hour will be dedicated to just staff and crew, both past and present. And that's what we're going to do, and then we'll get back to work next week. Next week, we're going to get back to work. It's going to be a midterm election preview show, and we look forward to that, and we're going to have some great contributors as we get back to business as usual. But 18 years on the air, listen, that's an occasion you got to celebrate. And if we heard one name repeated more than any other from the callers over the course of the last 2 hours, Keith Alexander, whose was it?
Eddie Miller.
That's absolutely right. And Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, is training for a marathon. He had his wife wake him up to make this call tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time. But he's with us right now, and we're so thankful for that. Eddie, listen, you know, we've done a lot of these anniversary shows together. 18 years is as special as any of them, and I guess maybe more special because it's the most recent and it's the, you know, the biggest so far. But you go back all the way with me, my friend, to 2002 when I was running. We've told this story before, running for state representative. You left a note on my on the door of my campaign headquarters saying you liked what I had to say. You wanted to get together. And boy, did you ever think in the summer of 2002 that in the fall of 2022, we would have had so many years of radio under our belt. You'd be hosting your own show. We'd be celebrating 18 years. Did you ever could you have even thought that?
God, I don't think a witch doctor could have thought that. Even if I had a crystal ball, I could have never thought that far ahead of time. It seems just like yesterday in some ways, James. Other ways, it seems like it was another lifetime ago. But, my God, you know what I miss most of all? The fun we used to have. We had so much fun. God, I remember when Austin Farley was running for Tennessee State rep, and we helped him campaign. That's one of my fond memories. I'll tell you another one of my great memories. I know this. I'm not being serious. I used to hide in the old Beanfield radio station, waiting on James to come in. Sometimes I'd park behind the studio, park out in the bushes. Old James come looking in. He never knew who I was going to be, but I used to jump out that sucker, man. We had so much. We had a ball out there, man. You remember that, James?
Listen, people will think these are tall tales. You would battle snakes. You would battle all kinds of things. The air conditioner would go out.
And Eddie.
Eddie especially. But those were going back out to that particular radio station and that particular studio. Man, that was a long time ago. A lot of people drop by that studio. I mean, 99% of the time our callers and our guests are on the line, on the phone. Paul Fromm came into that studio. Tom Sunich. And these are even Americans. And they were able to make their way down there. It's Bob Whitaker and others as well. Boy, those are, you know, there was something about those early years, Eddie, those early years that were a lot more footloose and carefree than it is now. I mean, now it's just a pitched battle. It's just a pitched battle now.
I'll never forget the time Tom Sunich came into town and we wanted to show him the sights in Memphis.
Yeah.
And he's been in war zones in Eastern Europe. He was down in the floorboard of the car in the fetal position.
No. it was Tom Sunich who was picking.
That's what I was talking about, Tom Sunich.
Yeah, okay, well.
No, Tom Sunick was.
I think we've done that to a couple of international guests.
Yeah,
anyway,
right. They, hey. They said they've been in real war zones, and they're not as frightening as going through the ghetto in Memphis.
But. I don't want to make the man who is the founder of the feast, Sam Bushman, wait for too long. If Sam might be willing, if Sam would be courteous enough, Sam is the man we all bow to here. He is the owner of Liberty News Radio Network. Without Sam Bushman, there's no James Edwards. There's no Eddie Miller. There's no Political Cesspool or Blood River. There's no Keith Alexander. But Eddie, if maybe perhaps if Sam would just stay on the line just a minute longer and we could give him the top of the next segment.
Yes.
Eddie, the memories, though, 18 years, meeting the audience, all the trips, all of the conferences, all of the shows, all of the guests, all of the hours – countless hours we spent together. Does anything stand out more than the other? You've got a couple of minutes.
God, I tell you what, I would say probably it's the fun. The fun part was probably my favorite. And Keith just mentioned it. We used to call it the tours. It'd be me, James, Keith, Henry, and we would take people coming in from out of state. We would take them down to my old stomping grounds into South Memphis, which literally you have to go into South Memphis to see if there's refrigerators.
That's where Cleotha Abston was, by the way. That's where. Right in your neck of the woods, Longview Heights.
Yeah. And old Richmond Avenue, where Southside High School used to be, of course, they tore it down. We took them to North Memphis. We had so much fun. I remember one of my other favorite times, the time Peter Scoop Stanton came to town, we did karaoke. It was right about the time, I think, Ron Paul was running for president. And then, of course, who could forget Charlottesville? That was, that wasn't as much fun as it was. Just it was. I don't know how to pronounce it. How to describe that Charlottesville? But we've had so many experiences together, and we healed. We bonded. You, me, Keith. I remember when Jess Bond used to be there. We just had such a wonderful time out there. And we became brothers. We really did. We loved, fought, ate, slept, just like soldiers together. Who could forget it? There was just so many memories. And I'm just hoping. And by the way, I forgot to say, happy 18th anniversary, TPC. You know what? And I feel like I can always say I got blood, sweat, and tears involved in TPC. I mean, I'll never I'll go to my grave thinking I'm a cesspoolian.
And don't leave out Bill Rowland, man.
Yes.
Well, we're going to mention all of the people who have come and gone before this. I've got them all written down, believe me. Yeah. Every cast, crew, staffer, production, you name it. We'll give them a name drop. But Eddie, the audience, then we're going to Sam at the top of the next segment if he doesn't mind waiting. Then we're going to go to Scoop and then Jack. And then we're going to round out the show with a little bit about Halloween. But the audience, Eddie, the people you've met.
God, I guess I would have to say there's so many, the Sasquatch in Florida, and you mentioned Pam and Dennis. I mean, who could not love Pam and Dennis? I mean, they're just, if you can't love Pam and Dennis, you're dead.
Salt of the earth.
There's just so many, many, many. I hate to even mention, even to leave anybody out. Henry, Jim Zim from area AZ, from AZ, another combat veteran. God, I could just go on. James, Washington State. Frank Hawaii from up north. Frank knows who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. He's going to see you at the marathon soon. Hey, listen, Pappy. Thank you for the role you've played in this show over all these years. We had to have you on tonight. I appreciate it. And we'll come back with Sam next.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?"
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the MASH.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH.
It has been a show over the course of the last 18 years that has obviously meant a lot to a lot of people. There are very few people who have had a hand in that more than the man you'll hear from now.
He is the founder of our feast, Sam Bushman.
Sam Bushman, the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network. When we first founded the show, we were just on a local station. And then a few months into that, we began to get internet streaming and broadcast archives. For a very short time, we went to Republic Broadcasting Network. And then in 2009, we had the opportunity to go to a new network. And it was a leap of faith a little bit, but I had a feeling about it. That was in 2009. We joined ranks with Sam Bushman and the Liberty News Radio Network. And here we are 13 years later. It was a decision that was monumental in my life for more reasons than I can tell you, not just professionally, but personally as well. Sam Bushman is a brother without peer. Sam, thank you for calling in tonight. 18 years on the radio, so many of that spent with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me on. A happy Halloween to everyone. And I was listening to the last segment in the hood with Eddie Miller, and it made me think of the AC/DC song that says this: lock up your daughters, lock up your wives, lock up your back door, and run for your life. And that kind of makes me think of that for Halloween, ladies and gentlemen. And I kind of think that's fascinating. I also think about Bill Rowland, my dear friend. You know, Bill Rowland, you probably hear a train in the background, maybe. A train's rolling by for Halloween, too. Eddie used to jump trains in his day, and it makes me want to just go jump on the train right now. Nevertheless, I think of Bill Rowland. I think, you know, really Bill Rowland played the mentor for James Edwards in the early days, ladies and gentlemen. And I got to be part of that. And one of the things that Bill Rowland taught that I have absolute tremendous respect for, and I'm out of the same mold, and that is you don't back down, you don't give an inch, you don't say you're sorry, and you don't backpedal and wimp out and cuck and all these things. Bill Rowland really set the stage for James on that. I carry on Bill Rowland's tradition, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, do you ever. And that was actually something I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I mentioned the fact that I had a opportunity to speak to a very elite gathering in Georgia last week, but I didn't mention the fact that I gave in that speech Bill Rowland the credit for advising me on that first media appearance, as you're referencing, Sam, right now. And if ever, though, I have seen one man tie the media in knots, I have been on the line with Sam, where he has made rabid reporters for the likes of the New York Times just, you know, back down. I've never seen anybody do it like Sam. Sam, I want to go to Scoop because he is the scribe of TPC's history, and he's taking off a little time from work tonight to call in. But, man, I want to thank you, and you above all others, for giving us this opportunity on the Liberty News Radio Network. You know how much you mean to yours truly and Keith and my wife and my family, and your family is my family. We've grown together over these years, but to have you on tonight is very special to me. 18 years. You just had your 25th anniversary last year. these are the ties that bind.
I got a quick story before I fly, James. You ready?
Sure.
It won't take too long, but I want to tell you about the most recent run-in I had with a New York Times reporter. I was at the press conference for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association on election fraud that we had in July with Catherine Engelbrecht and our dear friend, Mr. Phillips, Greg Phillips. And a New York Times reporter was there harassing every one of our staff, including sheriffs. And the sheriffs didn't know what to do with her because she was a female. And so the sheriffs kind of were polite to her and trying not to be like rough and tough sheriffs against this female. And they were trying to be delicate. And man, I literally had my buddy and I run up to this lady. We grabbed her arm and I had a discussion with her. And she eventually ran away on the spot. And everybody, all the sheriffs were standing around watching this transaction with this New York Times reporter. And she ran away from me literally in the middle of the conference and never came back. Now, you ready for the next step?
Hit me.
I keep calling her after that once a month just to tell her I love her.
That's ambushment. That's ambushment. That's the Sam Bushman I
Watch
know.
Out. She'll accuse Halloween. You of stalking
you
her.
Hey, happy Halloween, Sam. Get back to your family. I know you were at an event, and I appreciate you. Sam Bushman giving us a platform in the age of cancellation and cancel culture and deplatforming to have a network that syndicates us beyond the reach of our local station. Not many guys would take a chance on truth tellers, but Sam Bushman is a truth teller and a hero extraordinaire. But he is not the official scribe of TPC history. That honor, that title is bestowed upon Scoop Stanton. Scoop Stanton is with us now
Our
for the remainder of this segment.
Our man Scoop in Havana and D.C. and everywhere else.
He's been with us since the mid-2000s, and he remembers things about this show. So many of the callers over the course of the program tonight have reminded me of things that I might not have mentioned, but Scoop can always remind me of things that I have totally forgotten. And he wrote a nice article about the show. Break it down for us, Scoop. Take it away. So great to have you tonight.
Well, good evening, political successful family. Now, I say the term family because we are a family. We fight like brothers. We take care of each other. We look out for each other. And we wish nothing but the best for each other. And for some reason, I've been here 16 years. The political successful has officially lasted longer than my marriage. But anyways, I digress.
That's sad.
We'll say that for later. But anyways, one thing about the Cesspool, forget all the great shows, the great guests, the things we accomplished, and the news stories we broke out with. The best thing about the political cesspool is the people part of the political cesspool. For yours truly, I'm here at work, so I can't be contribute to the cesspool as much. So I went to James and Sam, says I'd like to do a fourth hour of the political cesspool with your blessing. They said go right ahead. And James, you did the best voiceovers anywhere in the business. And then you have not one but two spinoff shows from the political cesspool, and we just keep growing. I joined. We brought Sean Bergen in. We brought Jim Lancey on. I brought Walter Yerkew in. I mean, these are guests that have something that we bring him in. But the best thing we ever did was for Sean Bergen. He said that he was going to do a podcast somewhere in Long Island. Instead of saying, you know, goodbye, have a nice day, we shouted from the rooftops, listen to Sean Bergen Thursday night, WLINY.com. We shouted from the rooftops. And we couldn't be happier because for us, it was like Thursday night football. And Sean knocked out of the park. And who do you have as guests? None other than Sam Bushman, Jim Lancet, and one James Edwards.
And you know, I'll tell you something about Sean. Sean Bergen, who Scoop's mentioning, was a big-time reporter for a New York area television affiliate, and he got fired for mentioning the fact that
telling the truth.
Right.
Illegitimacy right. in black families is a problem,
right.
And then he signed on with us, and he's just been – he is a consummate pro. But I
right.
actually have a story about Sean Bergen and Sam Bushman that I'd like to share. They were both with me for the broadcast. You know, we had press credentials for the inauguration in 2016, and Sean Bergen and I sat at the same table along with Sam Bushman and others at the inauguration, and we did the show that night from Washington, D.C. And, Yeah, these guys, I mean, you were responsible. Another moment in TPC history, we're looking back on 18 years, you could never capture them all. But another moment in TPC history was the Anthea Cumia interview, which you arranged, yep. Scoop. And that was a big one that made a lot of news for us. Obviously, Hutton Gibson, huge news. Mel Gibson's father, that was covered on Entertainment Tonight. That was covered on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And, I mean, there's just so much over the years. But, right. Yeah, Bergen and Lancia, you know, two of the guys right. that Scoop had a hand in bringing in. And that, those were two right. of the very best.
And, James, real quick, when the mess was going on with Dylan Roof, we were looking out for Sean. I was like, hey, Sean, you want to take a break? Go right ahead, because we know that eventually, hopefully, you get another gig. So he said, well, hell no. If they want to fight this Irishman, says, bring it on, mofo. So we were looking out for him, but he said, no, I'm going to stick with you guys. And for James, for you were going through hell. I mean, you were getting more death threats than usual, but you want to look out for Bergen, who we just brought on board.
Always.
So. But that's what
I tell you another thing about Bergen, which I didn't expect when I met him. I'm 6 foot two. I looked up to Bergen. Bergen's a big guy in more ways than one. Hey, listen, Scoop, do you mind? I know you're busy, but can you stick with us through the break?
I wish you could, but you got to fly.
You're at work. All right, listen. Hey, stay tuned for the fourth hour. Scoop's getting ready for his show, the fourth hour, which comes up next. He mentioned two spinoffs, one before, one after. And the one that comes will follow next. Scoop Stanton.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Russian President Vladimir Putin showed no regrets for the war against Ukraine, insisting it was going to plan and playing down any nuclear standoff with the West, while both sides prepared for what could be a key battle in Kherson in Ukraine's south. Putin had a familiar litany of grievances against Western opponents as he addressed a conference in Moscow, accusing the West of inciting the war and of playing a dangerous, bloody, and dirty game that was sowing chaos. Has daylight savings time got you tossing and turning?
Most states will turn back their clocks an hour on Sunday, November 6th, but daylight savings time is generating growing health concerns. Sleep disorder specialists at the Mayo Clinic say turning the clocks back and forth twice a year causes disruption in the brain's circadian rhythms. Researchers at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital have found that in mice, disrupted sleep causes an increase in heart disease. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Appearing on MSNBC Friday night, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claimed Americans are truly facing an environment of fascism and the threat of returning to a very unique form of American apartheid because of white nationalists.
There is absolutely no doubt that the data shows that the vast majority of incidents of domestic terror come from white nationalism, and that we are really truly facing an environment of fascism in the United States of America.
Flu cases are rising in Central Florida, where Dr. Tim Hendricks said the increase began this past summer and will likely grow even steeper in coming weeks.
We are seeing less COVID-19, but we are still having some positive patients come into CentraCare. This is the time of year when we start seeing an increase in respiratory illnesses.
This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
We'll be right back.
I mean, relatively speaking, who are we comparing ourselves to, I guess? Hey, we have been able to rub shoulders and do a lot of things with a lot of people that I think talk radio opens doors to, that are shut off to some of our contemporaries and peers. I think a guy that has to be mentioned tonight is Sonny Landham. Yeah, that's the name that hasn't been mentioned yet. Sonny Landham, who remembers the scene in Predator where the tracker slits himself with the huge machete on the bridge as he begins to face down the monster, the alien from the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was the man who was the keynote at our kickoff party back in 2004. And for all the years we were on the air, Sonny Landham continued to come on this program. Hollywood star, worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy. I mean, you name it. I mean, a lot of big action star in the 80s. Personal friend of the family through this program. And he never backed down for associating with us. It's just one of the stories, one of the many stories we've gotten over the last 18 years. You have shared so many with us, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Of course, Sonny passed away a few years ago, and as a lot of the people who have been on this show have. But over the course of the last couple of hours, so many people from coast to coast, Keith, have
Art Frith, Jeff Melton, yeah, think of all these people.
Yeah, well, some of the people who have been a part of the team over the course of the years. Art Frith, our longtime producer. Winston Smith, of course, longtime co-host. Right. You just heard from Eddie and Scoop. Jim Lancia, Sean Bergen, Bill Rowland, Austin Farley, Jess Bonds, Jeff Melton. They've all been name dropped tonight. Sam Bushman, of course. There's people that you've never heard of that have been a part of the program. Obviously, our production crew, they are fantastic. Sam Bushman, I mean, you can't mention his name enough. People like, I'll just mention their first name, Sarah, Denny, people behind the scenes with production work and over the years. And then our web team, Eleanor and Deb. And it's just all of our web masters have been web mistresses, and they have kept us on the air, and they've just done a crack job. I'm forgetting people. I always hesitate to list the people who have played a role in this program because I'm going to leave out someone who is instrumental. I mean, there have been other people at the local stations that we want to mention. But, hey, let's mention Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan has been a big part of the show for several years now as well, and he's with us now live from his location to share with us a few thoughts here on 18 years, Jack. 18 years! You've been listening for a long time. You've been with us as a member of the crew for a long time. What reflections do you have tonight, my friend?
Well, I don't think I've been there for 18 years, but time really flies.
No. We've been here for 18. You've been here for a while and as a member of the team for several years now.
I've been there, but I'm just very honored to be with such good Americans, mostly Southern, and I've got that part of my history. I grew up in a university, liberal leftist, very famous place in Chicago, where the politics that everyone now is seeing, the corruption sweeping our country, it was kind of confined to a certain places. But that's where I had it. I was 7 and 8 years old during the 68 riots and things like that. So I all these bad things that are attacking Southern history, traditional Christian stuff, I've been dealing that since I was 7 years old. And so I've been pretty much fighting this crap every single day of my life since I was seven. And I just was honored to find this group of people who are good people, but who are also intelligent and who have some idea of what's going on. So that's kind of what my goal is to be good people, but also tough people and intelligent and know history, know what's going on. Obviously, we have rough things, but it's nothing new. I wasn't alive during the golden years that Keith remembers, the late 50s, early 60s. I was born in 1961, so I don't remember the Leave It to Beaver years or Eisenhower and things like that.
But, Keith was coming of age with Eisenhower.
And the civil rights movement up close and personal.
One thing that I like is closing the show out. Yeah. On the episodes in which you appear, and you're not here with us necessarily every week, but you're certainly a member of the team and a member of the staff. And I love closing out sometimes hard shows with a little bit of humor and a little bit of levity. Humor. And you always you always make that possible. So that means a lot to me. I like to do that as a host who's presenting a program, to leave the audience with something a little more light in terms of the issues we cover. But what do you most like about the program and the guests and the audience and the things that you've shared as a member of this team for the last several years?
Well, I like the variety of guests and hosts, but it is a Southern cultural and history show. In the South, I think you said, maybe someone else, but the North is the direction, the South is the place. And the South is a beautiful place. It's a great place with their own history and myths. And I tried to flee this Northern place, and I went to the South in Vanderbilt. That was back in the day, and there was the initial, I had some issues. I never had problems with the police in Chicago. There's so much crime, but did I have problems with the police in Nashville, Tennessee. They're still fighting the Civil War. They're calling me names, Yankees. I got shot at and things like that. But I love the South. Particularly, I like the Southern, the Southern women, like Courtney from Alabama, your wife, and I like. The big cities have gotten fallen down, but in the other smaller towns, race relations are so much better that people understand what's right and what's wrong, and they understand that children should be loved but given discipline and respect, and they oppose the bad things that I've seen, that this terrible sexual corruption and pornography and violence and crime and hard drugs and all of these satanic neoconservative Zionist war. The things that are happening now, they were kind of confined to a few places, but now they spread to the rest of the country. So I love the South. I think it's great. And I still keep ties with Tennessee. And I'm an eligible bachelor. If someone knows a Southern gal that's got a few extra pounds or something like that, come on, I'm there.
Well, I can tell you this. If you ever want to move down here, I think I've found the place for you in Memphis. There's one particular neighborhood that is maybe a perfect fit for you.
Yeah, well, my God, my hobbies
were. I don't know
what that
means. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
My hobbies were responsible motorcycle riding, partner, dancing, and tennis. And then I was a very, very good tennis player. So right now I'm not doing any of those things. I'm outside of Chicago now, but this is not a good place for motorcycles. The roads, I think, in Mogadishu, Somalia, are probably better than in Metro Chicago. And then just I like a lot of the architecture, but boy, the women in the big northern cities are just no fun. And I'm not lying. I'd rather hang out with black gang members than northern miseducated college women. What have they ever done for you? They're no fun. They won't dance. They won't cook for you. You can't look at this stuff. Look at Tom Brady's wife
guy.
Divorce.
Their favorite activity is kvetching. Right? Yeah.
Kvetching, but just like, man. I want to get back to the South, and I keep contact with Vanderbilt in Tennessee. And so, well, hopefully I can make the move. But again, I've been trying to flee Metro Chicago, the North, since I was 7. And there's some curse that's been
keeps bringing you back in.
Yeah.
Well, it is Halloween. The police hassled you in Nashville, Jack. But on the other hand, Memphis has enough serious crime that I doubt they'd be interested in you, the police.
Well, I'll tell you, we were carving pumpkins tonight. It's Halloween. And let me say, you just mentioned Courtney from Alabama. She's next to close the show. But she's going to be back. She's going to be back. In the next segment to close the show, we're going to be focusing on the history of Halloween. Listen, Halloween ain't just pranks and tricks and treats. It's a European cultural holiday with a longstanding tradition. So we're going to learn and revisit a little bit more about Halloween, a special time of year going back to our forebears in prehistory Europe especially. But so she'll be back to close the program. But, Jack, listen, I always enjoy closing a show with you. It's Halloween. It's TPC. It's 18 years. And it's been a real special show tonight, really unusual show to open it up all to callers. But we've done that tonight, the last hour we've taken for ourselves. And I really appreciate you, Jack, for sticking
with
us.
Well, I try my best.
But listen, we got it. The left hates humor. The left hates to be mocked, and they have to be laughed at. And you give us an opportunity to do that. I don't think you ever come on the show where I don't laugh. And that's legitimate. I'm not just like fake laughing into the mic. It's, you make me laugh. Yeah. Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Next week, we have to get back to business as usual. We've got a busy show next week. My goodness, with the midterms coming up, Jack will be with us for that. And hey, by the way, folks, don't forget to check out thesnc.org for the Southern National Congress. Thesnc.org. They're having their annual meeting next weekend, a week from tonight in the Nashville area. Thesnc.org. Let's talk about Halloween with Courtney next.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
From communion with the dead to pumpkins and pranks, Halloween is a patchwork holiday stitched together with cultural, religious, and occult traditions that span centuries. It all began with the Celts, a people whose culture had spread across Europe more than 2,000 years ago. October 31st was the day they celebrated the end of the harvest season in a festival called Samhain. That night also marked the Celtic New Year and was considered a time between years, a magical time when the ghost of the dead walked the earth.
It was the time when the veil between death and life was supposed to be at its thinnest.
On Samhain, the villagers gathered and lit huge bonfires to drive the dead back to the spirit world and keep them away from the living. But as the Catholic Church's influence grew in Europe, it frowned on the pagan rituals like Samhain. In the 7th century, the Vatican began to merge it with a church-sanctioned holiday. So November 1st was designated All Saints' Day to honor martyrs and the deceased faithful.
Both of these holidays had to do with the afterlife and about survival after death. It was a calculated move on the part of the church to bring more people into the fold.
All Saints' Day was known then as Hallowmas. Hallow means holy or saintly. So the translation is roughly Mass of the Saints. The night before, October 31st, was All Hallows' Eve, which gradually morphed into Halloween. The holiday came to America with the wave of Irish immigrants during the potato famine of the 1840s. They brought several of their holiday customs with them, including bobbing for apples and playing tricks on neighbors, like removing gates from the front of houses. The young pranksters wore masks so they wouldn't be recognized. But over the years, the tradition of harmless tricks grew into outright vandalism.
Back in the 1930s, it really became a dangerous holiday. I mean, there was hooliganism and vandalism. Trick-or-treating was originally a extortion deal. Give us candy or we'll trash your house.
Storekeepers and neighbors began giving treats or bribes to stop the tricks, and children were encouraged to travel door to door for treats as an alternative to troublemaking. By the late 30s, trick-or-treat became the holiday greeting.
Well, now you know the history behind Halloween, at least an abbreviated three-minute history, and it is a holiday, as you heard, that reaches back to our ancestral memory. And typically, on the last program before Halloween, we go sometimes up to a full hour on Halloween history and how it connects us to our past in Europe and to our present here in America today. And I remember last year doing it, at least last year, if not the last couple of years, with Courtney from Alabama, a full hour. And we had intended to do that originally some weeks ago at least, to do that again tonight. But circumstances brushed up upon us. I had to take a trip last week, and then next week it's an election year, so we got a midterm election show next week that we got to do, or else it'll be stale. And so we had to truncate and sort of merge the anniversary show that we do every year with Halloween, and so it got condensed down to one segment. But one segment it will be, and it'll be a great segment. Courtney is with us now from Alabama, also a member of our team here who you've heard mentioned at least once or twice in the previous couple of hours, and a valued member of our team at that. But tonight, we're here to talk about Halloween, and she is here to give us the story. Why are we talking about Halloween tonight, Courtney?
Actually, that's a good question to start with, because I mean, first of all, I'll get this out of the way really, really quickly. I love fall. It reminds me of, you know, my European ancestry and just the weather, the cool weather and the cloudy skies and everything about it. But I'm just, I am so thankful that I am no longer like 95% of the people in my state who gets excited about fall because for them it means football. And you know, I used to be like that too. And I do still, like, if Alabama's in the national title game, I do cheer them on, especially if they're playing a Yankee team. I really get into it. But other than that, I just don't really, you know, get into it during the regular season. But anyways, that's just me. I might go into that more during another show. But as far as Halloween, you know, I know it can be a controversial topic, especially in the church. I personally think there's a healthy balance to Halloween. I mean, there's a lot of people that go way too far with it. Like they like to celebrate it all year, or they like it more than Christmas, or they like to decorate, like, or they like to make their yard decorations look like a crime scene in their yard. Like, they think it means blood and guts, or they get into the satanic side of it. And my version of Halloween is very innocent, and I've always been this way about it. I'm a Christian, as the audience knows. And I'm not against scary stuff per se. I see nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's part of our history. Scary tales, fairy tales. There's scary stuff in fairy tales, going way back. But anyways, if you were to go in my house right now and look at how I decorate for Halloween, it's very innocent. It's cute smiling jack-o'-lanterns everywhere. Cute little smiling ghosts. I mean, the witch that you see in Snow White is probably scarier than any of my Halloween decorations, or the dragon at the end of Sleeping the dragon at the end of Sleeping Beauty is scarier than any of my Halloween decorations. In fact, in Switzerland, they have their own, or, like, you know, in Europe in general, they have their own versions of Halloween. It might be a completely separate holiday, but they do have, like, a similar version to it. Like I know in Switzerland, they have these parades where, you know, you have children and participating in them, and they put on the scariest looking witch masks, and they carry these burning, broomsticks, you know, and so, you know, in America, we tend to have a watered down version of a lot of things for our children. Like one example of comparing the Disney version of fairy tales to the original European version. I think our British Puritan heritage has a lot to do with this. You know, I've criticized evangelicals on here on the show before, you know, because I do think they get a little too uptight about Halloween in a lot of ways, although there's other things that are right about, like the stuff I went into at the beginning. But overall, I appreciate our, if you could call it sheltered, you know, very Protestant / Victorian / Puritan view of the world that we have in America, thanks to, you know, this is another thing I just love about the British, you know, because of our British heritage, we have this more sheltered Victorian Puritan view of things than they do in continental Europe. And, you know, there's a lot of things the British, like even today, there's a lot of things that are very prudish about compared to continental Europeans. And I'm thankful for that. There's certain, you know, God bless them. I mean, I'm not saying we're morally superior in the Anglosphere, but, you know, there's just certain ways they do things in continental Europe that certain habits and lifestyle that I don't agree with, things that are a little more liberated about, whereas we're a little more uptight and Puritan and prudish about certain things, and I like to keep it that way. So I don't know if that bleeds over and explains why, you know, we like to protect our kids over here a little more on Halloween, than, you know, traditionally than, or in a lot of ways than, you know, the way they do things in Europe, like with their traditional fairy tales and their celebrations over there. I'd love to hear what y'all have to say.
Well, it reminds me, this is Keith, Courtney, it reminds me of a play, I think it was from the 1960s, that got some run over here, a British play called No Sex, Please, We're British. Remember that?
I love that about the British, I do. I mean, it's there's other things I could go into, but it's probably not Halloween related.
Well, I'll tell you this. Let me ask Keith this question. Keith, when does a pumpkin become a jack-o'-lantern?
I don't know.
When it gets carved.
Okay.
I mean, obviously.
Right,
and
yeah.
So I actually spent a little bit of time this afternoon at the kitchen table with my wife and kids, and we carved a couple of pumpkins. It was boys versus girls, so Henry and I had a pumpkin, and Danny and the girls.
Well, tell Carolina me the truth. Who did a better job?
Danny. Henry and I were carving primary shapes, you know, like a circle and a triangle, and Danny's came out with like cursive writing and a witch, and I don't even know how they do that. I couldn't do that ever. But it's a wonderful thing, Courtney. I mean, yes, it's a wonderful thing. It's something that links us back to our Celtic and British ancestry. And as you heard in the clip earlier, this is a time of year that was important to them. And so there's something about that that resonates with me. And, yeah, we'll be dressed up and we'll go trick-or-treating with the kids.
Are both of y'all going to take your children out trick-or-treating?
Where are you going to be a little bit before nightfall on Monday night, Courtney?
Oh, with my children. It's all about the children. I love it. I just love doing stuff like this. You know, there's so much you miss doing as a child, and it's so wonderful being a parent to be able to live it again and just seeing them
see
get
it
so
through
excited
your children's eyes. That's absolutely right. Yeah, there's something to that. Well, Courtney, listen, I want to thank you for being a part of the show as long as you have. I mean, you've certainly been an integral part of the program. You're a regular contributor to the show for years and years, and we're celebrating 18 years on the air tonight. And you've been a part of it for as long as I can remember, at least the 18, if not longer. And one of the callers tonight was longer than that. But it's been a very special show. We'll get back to business as usual next week. But tonight, folks, it was all about you. It was all about the team here. So for everybody that's called in tonight and for everybody this hour, Courtney, Jack, Sam, Eddie, obviously, Keith, and who did we miss? Sam, Eddie, Jack,
all of
Scoop,
our
Scoop, Scoop, all of the listeners. and Courtney especially. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy 18 years to all of you out there who have kept TPC on the air this long. We'll be back next week with another show that you'll want to tune in for. What a privilege and what a pleasure to be your host. I'm James Edwards. Good night, Godspeed. Happy Halloween.